sudden, there was a light show in front of you. All of a sudden, you know, there's just this dynamics of light, and then you hear these voices in the sky, and then these angels trumpet in. Would you be fearful? You know, I'm going to be honest. If it was me, and I know God, and I pray every day, and I read the Bible every day, and I talk to God, and I try to experience God every day. If some angel started speaking to me, I'd be running. All right, you know, it's just, you know, and so I want to think about that this morning. We're in a series on the journeys of Christmas. We're talking about various journeys. Last week, we talked about the wise men and their journey and how and what we can learn from them, because this series really grew out of a statement for me that I had, and that I think it's a great vision statement for our church, that we want others to see Jesus in us and join us in this wonderful journey. Doesn't that sound nice? That we want others to see something in us that's different, that we're not like the rest of the world, that there's grace, there's mercy, that God's love is real, that they see something in us and want to join us in this journey. But sometimes the journey has challenges. And since the journey is scary, anybody know about a scary journey? Anybody have some fears, you know? Any fears of the future? Maybe, you know, we're in one of the best economic times we've had, never been as long as it had right now. Usually, California has a recession every less than 10 years. All right? Well, we're well over at 11, hitting up to 12 years now. You know, there's some future, this uncertainty about the future that may weigh heavy on you. Maybe you worry about something bad to you, or what something bad happened to one of your loved ones, you know, and you fear something like that's going on. You know, it's Christmas time. I don't know about you. I worry about drunk drivers. Anybody else worry about drunk drivers besides me? You know, just people doing something stupid during the holidays. I got grandkids on the road. I got kids on the road. And you worry about the future. Or maybe you worry about right now. Maybe there's some concerns right now in your life. You know, maybe there's maybe a little loneliness. You know, right now, my wife's had a Christmas tea. You know, drinking tea with her family and exchanging cookies up in Sacramento. You got to have your finger just right, right? You know, and they do a cookie exchange, right? And they never make good cookies. They make all sorts of fancy cookies. You know, just give me a sugar cookie with frosting on it, all right? I'll be happy. You know, but, you know, my wife's gone right now, so she's up there. My kids are all grown, and I'm sitting around. My grandkids didn't have basketballs yesterday morning, so I'm sitting around the house, and it's boring. I'm all alone. Anybody feel lonely? Anybody get lonely, you know? You just, you know, there's feel of loneliness, you know, feel of something bad happening, feel of unknown. Maybe lots of things changing in your life right now, and there's that fear of change, you know. Or maybe you got fears of the past, you know. Maybe you worry about the past catching up with you. Well, I got news for you. I've learned this in my life. You can hide something for 40 years, but it usually comes back. You know, anybody got a past? Do you want it? You know, and there's all sorts of fears. I was reading an article, and they say psychologists and psychiatrists have dealt 645 different kinds of fears. You know, the fear of failure, the fear of rejection. You know, we have all these fears, and, you know, I have some. I have a friend who's afraid of spiders. Who's afraid of spiders? You know, now, I'm not a friend of snakes, but I'm not afraid of them, but I will run from a snake, okay? And we have all, how do you go through life with these fears? How do we deal with our fears in life right now? You know, we're on this journey, and we want to live a life that shines God, that people can see God and know there's something different about us, and yet we have these fears, and we have these things going on in our mind. How can we do that, you know? And you've seen the video right there, and it begins right there. There's a little outline in your worship folder. Let me encourage you to get that little outline out. There's some blanks you can fill in and kind of follow along with the message. But here's what it says. That night, some shepherds were in the fields nearby watching their sheep. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them. The glory of the Lord was shining around them, and they became very frightening. How do we go through life? How do we journey through life when there's fears? You know, I think, you know, what can we do as we have these fears? And here, these shepherds, just another day in their life. I just have this picture in my head of these guys like that video was shown, just kicking back after another hot day in the sun, chasing the sheep all over the place, laying down, just laying there, looking at the stars. And then all of a sudden, this light show starts. And then these voices, booming voice comes out of the sky. You know, and there's fear and there's uncertainty and what's happening and what's going on. But in the midst of the voice goes on and it says, then the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will be of great joy to all people. What that says is, you know what? In the midst of everything in our lives, whether it's good or bad, God is there. Can we say that? You know, can you understand that? Now, that even in the midst of our fears, in the midst of our concerns, in the midst of our anxiety, our stress, our worry, in the midst of all of life, whether it's good or bad, that God is there. God shows up. And he has something to say. And what he's saying is, fears are real, but with God, there's something there. That you're never alone, that God's walking in. And he has this good news. So how do we walk through this? So what I want to do is I picked out four things. Four things I see in the wise men that it can help us deal with our journey. How can we walk through life and hold our head up and walk through life and let others see Jesus in us and walk through life with a little confidence and a little assurance that God is with us? How can we do that? I think the shepherds give us an idea. Here, listen to what it says as they went on from that. Today, here's what it said. Today, your Savior was born in the town of David. He's Christ the Lord. This is how you will know him. You will find a babe wrapped in a piece of cloth and lying in a feeding box. Then a very large group of angels from heaven joined the first angel, praising God and saying, give glory to God in the heavens and on earth. Let there be peace among the people who please God. So what he's saying is when you walk with God in the midst of your fears, there is peace. I'm going to ask you, how's your peace today? Are you peaceful today? Can you look at life and hustle? And I don't know about you, but Christmas is a crazy time. Yesterday I went over, since my wife is gone, I get to eat out, all right? No, I didn't go to Thai. She doesn't eat Chinese food, so I went and got me some Chinese food. Do not get on Sisk Road by the mall. All right? Yeah. And even past Palindale, you know, I went over there to Miwa or whatever that Chinese food is over there, trying to get out of the parking lot to get home. Yeah. 15 minutes to go 3 miles. Isn't that fun? Yeah. We go through life, you know, I'm going to be a good Christian. I'm not going to say anything bad. I'm not going to run anybody over. You know? How do we go through life? And, you know, that's just one day. Anybody got one day? Anybody got a day like that? You know, and it's a holiday. And, you know, what do we do? How do we go through that? He says there's peace. Anybody got peace today? Anybody comfortable today? You know, it's okay. Life's going to be okay. God's got things in his hands. God's got this under control. You know, how hard is it to live at peace today? And with everything going on, the uncertainties, the questions, the fears, how can we live at peace? And I see this in the angels. And here, when the angels left, look at what it says. When the angels went back to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So the shepherds went quickly. I kind of like the video. They ran one way when they were afraid. They ran the other way after the angel left. They ran quickly and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the feeding trough. When they had seen him, they told what the angel had said about the child. Everyone was amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured these things and continued to think about them. Then the shepherds went back to their sheep, praising God, thanking him for everything they had seen and heard. It had been said just as the angel had told them. I want to pull four things out of here for us today that as I'm journeying through life, that can help me, whether there's fear, whether there's uncertainty, whether there's questions, whether there's anxiety, whether there's worry, whether things are running smooth. I have four things that I think can really help us as we walk through life and our journey so that when others do see us, they can say, you know, there's something about that that makes them different. And they can see Jesus in us and want to join us in this wonderful journey. So the first thing, if you get your outline out, you might want to put this one in. Keep your eyes open. Just as a little side note, you don't have to close your eyes to pray, okay? You can pray with your eyes open, all right? But keep your eyes open. Keep watching. Now, last week I kind of talked about this with the wise men. They were watching the star. And my point last week was, you want to watch where God is working and join him in what he's doing. That was last week. Anybody remember that? Anybody was here last week? You know, you want to watch where God's working, and you want to join in what he's doing. You want to be a part of what he's doing. I want to take it another step this morning. So not only watch what he's doing, but we need to make note of what God is doing. We need to see God's hand. We need to be aware of God's hand. Here's my thought on this for a minute. Every time we get together with the ministry team leaders, I meet once a month with them, and we sit in the little room over here, and one of, you know, I read a little Bible verse, share a little devotional, then I ask a question. Anybody, some of them are here this morning. You guys know the question I ask. Tell me a, right, I want to hear a God story. You know, God doesn't, you know, I want to tell you something. God doesn't just work on Sunday morning, okay? God works 24/7. Even while you're asleep, God's working, okay? But I want to hear a God story. Can you tell me a God story? I want to ask you, do you have a God story today? Do you have a God story today that you can say, God's hand was maybe a health, maybe a protection, maybe a blessing, but that God was, and you can tell a story that God was. See, we need to have these God stories. And so here's this verse. I like the way this Message Bible put this verse. Keep your eyes open for God. Watch for his work. Be alert for signs of his presence. Now, most of us have God stories, but there's two problems for me. First of all, I forget them. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, I'll sit there with our team, and we all go, yeah, we've all had God stories. Well, tell me one. They slip from our mind. You know, we know it. God was there when God, you know, and we recognize it right there at that instant. Right? And we know it. The second one is this one for me. Now, again, I can't talk for you, but I can talk for me. I don't recognize it then, but a year down the road, I recognize. Anybody on that one? You know, you don't see God's hand instantly. You know, you know things that happened, things went on, and you know, you didn't think much about it, but down the road, you look back and go, man, God was there all the time, wasn't he? This week, this week I was thinking about a situation in my life, and it's like, I didn't think about this. When I turned 65, I get Medicare, but there was something involved in that God had to do. 20 years ago, God did it. And it's like, if he hadn't done that, I'd be in trouble. Tell me 20 years to realize that. Anybody got a 20-year-old story from God? You know? See, we have these stories, but we forget them, or we don't recognize them. And so what I want to tell you is keep your eyes open, and I'm going to do something preachers are accused of, okay? Preachers are accused of this. I'm going to confess it, all right? Do as I say, not as I do, okay? All right? Do as I say, not as I do, because here's one of the things that I wrestle with, because I do it, and then I falter. And I'll do it again, and I'll start again, and I falter. And I try, and I fail. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That's life. Here's a word, journal. Write down every day what God is doing in your life. Now, I'm not talking about writing a book. Here's what I try to do. I try to make it because Gary's simple, okay? And I try to make it simple. I write a verse that God used to speak to me, a thought that God gave me, and how I seen God that day. That's just three things. The problem is I start and I fail. I'll go a week, and then I'll quit. I'll go a month. And anybody on that kind of battle, you try to journal, and you start, and you drop, you start, and you drop, you start. And you, it's a battle. So I'm telling you, do something the preacher can't do. Do it. Yeah, I'll take that one, all right? You can lay that one on me. Start making a journal. You don't have to write a whole page. You know, I'm serious. Sometimes I have just one line. just one line on each. You know, and that's all I have. But it makes me recognize God, and then I can go back over that, and I can look back there and say, remember, I remember that. Yeah, God was there. So I want to challenge you to start listing things God does in your life. Just a journal. Maybe you know, this verse spoke to me, and then I seen God's hand. You know, and just every day, what is God? You know, look for God's hand. Open your eyes to God every day. Does that make sense? Can that help with fears? Does that help with the uncertainties of life? You know, does that help with, you know, your past being the past and not catching up with you? You know, does that help with loneliness and know that God's always with you? When you see his hand every day and what God is doing. And so I just want to challenge you there, and as we're going through life, and you're journeying through life, and you wrestle with life, and there's good and there's bad in life, that every day write something down. You know? And sometimes it's good, and sometimes it's bad. I was sharing again this week. I've shared this with you. You know, that's how crazy your preacher is, all right? I will walk the hall, this hall, I can tell you, this hall right there, I'll walk down that hall. Sometimes when I'm Monday morning, Tuesday morning, and it's like, Jesus loves me, this I think, for the Bible tells me so. Anybody know that song? I had a little tweak of words there, right? Because this is what I'm talking about. Jesus loves me, this I think, for the Bible tells me so. I am weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Even when I don't feel like it, he loves me. Anybody know that one? And you got to write, you need to be sharing. What is God saying? Where is God working? You know, I'm weak, I fail, I falter, but God was here when? God was here. I shared with you, I went to that store, and I had tried to get out of that parking lot over there. The cars were lined up all the way to the red light by Red Lobster, okay? And it's like, so I pull up, and, you know, and God was there, because the guy right there, I didn't even wait a second. He says, go ahead and get in. I got right in line. You know, anybody ever pray for a parking space? Come on now. Don't come on now. You know? Can that be a blessing? You see, we need to make notes, even just a courtesy of somebody sharing something. In the Christmas season, somebody being nice? That's a miracle, right? You know, we need to keep a journal. So I'm going to challenge you. Every day, write something down that you've seen God's hand. God, I seen you in. God, I recognize you here. You know? And sometimes, I'm going to be honest, sometimes it's, God, it was bad, but it wasn't as bad as it could get, right? So open your eyes to see what God is doing. Look at what it says here in Psalm 77:11. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Can that help in the midst of a journey through fears, through anxiety, through stress, through concerns, through uncertainties, through loneliness? Can remembering the deeds of God help? See, I think the wise men showed us that. I mean, I think the shepherds showed us that. Second point I put down here is this. Keep your heart grateful. Keep your heart grateful. I deserve, you know what, Irv? Nothing. What I get is God's grace. Isn't that right? You know, I don't earn it. I don't deserve it. I can't achieve it. But God willingly gives me his grace. When the wise men went, I mean, when the shepherd, I got to get this story right. When the shepherds went, they returned. What did it say they did? They had a party. They went rejoicing. They went back celebrating. They went back acknowledging what God has done. See, you keep a journal so that when you read that journal, you can say, thank you, and you can praise God. Yeah. How many here sing a song of rejoicing sometimes to yourself? Or maybe in the shower? I don't sing in the shower, all right? Yeah. But like I say, you know, can celebrating lift your spirit? Can remembering that song inspire you? Just being grateful that God noticed me. Being grateful that God was there. Seeing the hand of God and experiencing the hand of God. You know, I want you to think about this. Think about this. You, now I'm going to tell you this. You are a part of what God is doing. That's what the shepherds told us. These were ordinary, everyday guys. They had worked all day long in the hot sun chasing sheep all over the city of these hills of Israel. They gathered the sheep into a pen that night, and they kicked back to relax, and looking up at the moon and the stars in the sky, and God shows up. And then the next night, this is what I'm thinking about, the next night, they get together. It's been another hard day. No angel in the sky. No voice screaming the good news. But I think about those guys lying there going, remember last night? Just about right now, the stars started changing. Remember last night when that voice came from the heavens? Remember last night when we ran to Jerusalem, to Bethlehem? And I can just see them celebrating again. I see the guy sitting there, remembering, just celebrating all that. We got to be a part of what God is doing today. We got to see the baby Jesus. We got to see the hope of the world. We got to see the peace that all can have. We got to see the glory of God. I could see them for night after night after night rejoicing on what they got to experience. When you get to be a part of what God is, you get to be a part of what God has a hand in. And you realize, I'm just an ordinary everyday, I'm a nobody. And then you look back on it and you see what God done through you and in you. Isn't that a joy? You know, I just see this in our lives. See that God has something for us to do. I'm not here by accident. Look at what it says here in Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time to do. See, I'm getting to be a part of what God is doing. I get to be a part of how God is moving. You know, I was sharing this week again with someone because, you know, one of these days, I'm going to walk the golden streets. Anybody else going to be on that street with me? All right, I see some hands out there. You know, I get to walk the golden streets, all right? Not because I've earned it, not because I'm a preacher, not because I'm a good guy. I earned it because, well, no, I didn't earn it anyway. Gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, that is not of yourself, the gift of God. Not anyone should boast. But someday I'm going to walk those streets. You know what I look forward to the most? It's not my mansion, because I don't expect a mansion. You know, I just give me a barn. I don't care. I'll sleep in the manger. I don't care. I'm going to heaven. All right, that's what matters to me. But the most exciting thing that matters to me, the thing I pray about for me, is I want somebody to come up to me and say, Gary, thank you for sharing the good news with me, because I am here because Jesus died for me and you told me that. To me, that's the greatest reward I want, to know that there are people in heaven because of me. You know, think about that. You know, I can rejoice, I can celebrate God, not because, oh, my life is so good, my life is so easy, things are going so well, I don't have any problems. I can celebrate life, you know. I want others to see Jesus in me and join me in this wonderful journey, and I get to tell them the good news. And can I just imagine walking the streets and somebody come up and wrap their arms around me and hug me, which you know is not my favorite, right? And tell, Gary, thank you. Thank you for being the one that God used. That's my prayer. I want to be that person. Because that, to me, that's greater joy than living in a mansion, to know that you help somebody find eternity in heaven with God. Isn't that true? You know, and you know, I can, you know, let's be grateful what God is doing. I get to be a part of this great thing that God is about, and see and be a part and remember all these things that God is. And then I close with this verse on this point. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. So I can just see the shepherds lying there. Last night I was down here at the church and I walked home. I looked up at the moon. I'm telling you, the moon was pretty last night. Anybody else look at the moon last night? It was really pretty last night. Wasn't it pretty last night? The little clouds kind of blowing over, and you know, and it's just, God's so good. And I can just see the shepherds laying there watching the stars move by again. And, you know, I remember, and they're just celebrating and partying. I got to be a part of that. Can you rejoice? Even when things are wrong, can you rejoice because God is working? And you get to be a part of what God is doing. The third thing I put down here is keep your purpose firm. You know, as I looked at the wise men, I think it's real interesting. The angel showed up. I like the video because I'm serious. If the angel showed up and started talking, I would have been running the other way too, all right? I would have been with them. It's like, I'm going this way. You know? And I would have probably ran the wrong way and let God work and see what God is up to. And that's my challenge. And as I was thinking about it, ran the wrong way. And then if you look at the next verse, they ran towards Jesus. Stephen, can I interrupt you for a minute? Stephen runs our system. Can you kind of step outside over here? Just to kind of give a check real quick. I think everybody kind of noticed. I don't know. Trish has a lot of health issues, and she's here this morning. And I don't know. Stephen is a nurse, and so I'll let Stephen go out and just kind of double check. Thank you, Stephen. Yeah, she went out the side over here. I know since we're looking over there, so I wanted to let you know what's happening there. So we'll send Steve. But I want you to think about these guys. When the angel appeared, they got themselves together. They collected themselves. The fear kind of went down. And they ran to Bethlehem, right? Now, it's not what it says. They went quickly to Bethlehem. They wanted to check out what the angels had said, They had a purpose, and they were going somewhere with God. Now, I'm going to make a point here, and this might be uncomfortable, all right? I'm going to warn you. The old days in the old church when I grew up in the 70s, this would be part of the sermon where we're going to step on your toes. Anybody remember those days? You know, the preacher's going to step on your toes today. You need to have your steel-toed shoes on. What I'm asking you for and what I'm saying is these guys were committed. It wasn't like, well, I'm going to go when it's comfortable. I'll wait till the morning. I'm going to go back to bed. I'm going to go back to sleep. I'm going to, in the morning, I'll get up and I'll go to Bethlehem in the morning. I'll check it out in the morning when it's comfortable. How many people tell God that? God, I'll serve you when it's comfortable. God, I'll serve you when it's easy. God, I'll serve you when there's no fear. God, I'll join you when... Anybody say anything? Don't raise your hand, please. But you know what I'm saying? These guys, you know, it wasn't about their comfort. It wasn't about something easy. You know, the angel showed up. They had had a hard day, been in the sun all day, chasing all day. The angel shows up. The light show goes. And they got up, ran from him, and then ran the other way to see Jesus. How many of us... Well, it's inconvenient today to go to church. You know, the 49ers are on, right? Are they on today? This afternoon? Okay. So, see, that's good for most of you then. Yeah. Yeah. My daughter was sharing with me, I thought we have to work this out because God's team, the Cowboys, if something happens just right, the Cowboys get to play the 49ers. So, never mind. I'm not going to go there now. Commitment, right? I'm committed to those Cowboys, good or bad. What I'm saying is, when you walk with God, you need to be committed. Can I say that? You can't be wishy-washy. It's convenient. I still remember when I went to college. I'm sitting in a college class at a Christian college, okay? I'm at Christian college, and my psychology teacher says this, and she had a hard time because there's a lot of us preacher. She called us preacher boys, you know. And she goes, "Well, I go to church when I feel I need to." And it's like, here's my thing for me. If I go to church when I feel I need to, if I don't go to church when I don't feel I need it, it's probably the time I need it the most. You know, that's my feeling, you know, it's like, so I want to challenge you. You know, what's interesting, I want to encourage you, because what's interesting with these shepherds, I want to know, it is plural, all right? There wasn't one shepherd. I'm going to tell you, if I'm by myself, it's scary. Life is scary by yourself, right? All alone, lonely, you know, but these guys had, there were shepherds, there was more than one. I don't know how many there were, you know, we had a picture of two. You know, so we don't know how many shepherds there were out there that day. But as soon as he showed up, they had a purpose. Now, not tomorrow, not the next day, not next week. We're going now. We're going to run now. It might not be, I was up all night, I'm tired. I don't want to go to church today, it's cold. It's wet. The preacher's ugly. You know, he preaches too long. I confess to that one. You know, but we need to hear that. I just want to challenge you. In order to really experience God, it is a daily experience. Does that make sense? That's why you journal. That's why you watch for Him. That's why you open your eyes for Him. It's a daily experience, and you don't wait. And so I just want to challenge you as I these guys, and I look what's going on. Listen what it says. Never be lacking in zeal. But keep your spiritual fever serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. You know, I see that verse. I went and seen Martha yesterday. Martha's probably watching us. And I went and seen Martha yesterday, and I'm sitting there, and I was sharing with Martha. I can't do. You know, I went through some boxes at home. I'm getting ready to preach later on in the first of next year. And so I went through some boxes at home. I found that box of our finance campaign, our giving campaign for this building. And I found that box, and I was going through that box and sorting through all that stuff, looking for things I want to use in that message coming up. And as I was going through it, I'm looking at this going, I couldn't do that now. I don't have the energy to do that now. And I was telling Martha that. And Martha goes, yeah, we get older. We just don't have the energy anymore. And Martha's 90-some-odd years old. And I'm only 65. It's like, give me a break. You know, but you know what? I don't have that. You know, I have the zeal, but I don't have the energy. I'm going to Bethlehem with you shepherds. I'll be walking. I'll catch up with you. I'm not running no marathon. You know, but you keep the zeal. You might not have all the energy. You might not have all of all that power that you once had, but you keep that zeal for God. I love God. I'm in this. I ain't going anywhere. We're going to have a great ride. You have that purpose. Excuse me. And you keep that purpose firm, and you stay on that purpose. And, you know, yes, there's times when there's questions, and yes, there's time when there's doubting, and, you know, there's frustrations, and, you know, you're walking through this journey, and there's fears and challenges, but you have that purpose. You know, I thought about these guys. Who watched the sheep? You know, I got stuck staying back. It's like, I ain't staying back. I'm going. Joe, you stay back. I'm gone. You know, I want to go see this baby, you know, and, you know, I want to be there. You know, I feel bad for the guy that got stuck watching the sheep. You know? And so we see this story. Excuse me. We see this story, and so there's discouragement. There's all sorts of things, but you stay firm in that commitment, okay? You have that zeal. And so here's what it says. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. So friends, take a firm stand, feet on the ground, head high. Keep a tight grip on what you were taught, whether in personal conversation or by our letter. Stand firm, keep your head held high. You know, as I was writing this message and I was thinking about some of the fears, there's a great book out right now, because I'm going to tell you, sometimes it's hard to say I'm a Christian today, isn't it? I mean, let's be honest. You know, because you say I'm a Christian, well, you're intolerant. You're homophobic. You're prejudiced. You know, sometimes it's even afraid to say I'm a Christian. And there's a great book out right now. Ed Stetzer wrote a book, The Christians in the Age of Outrage. And it's a really nice read to see. You know, but if we stand firm, you know. But I'm going to tell you what we stand firm on. Let me give you some things to stand firm on. One great big word. Starts with, anybody know? L-O-V-E, I'll spell it. I could spell. We stand firm on love, right? Above that door, turn around and look. It says they will know you're my disciples because you went to church today. No. Because you're a good person. Uh-uh. It says because you dressed for church, right? Wore a tie with Mickey on. It says, they will know you are my disciples by your love for one another. Write this word. Write the word love down. Write the word grace down. Write that word grace down. G-R-A-C-E. Because that's grace. The grace of God. That's what they want to see. That's what they want. I want to stand firm in love. I want to stand firm in grace. We're getting ready to do a 40-day spiritual growth campaign on mercy. That's another great word to stand firm on. You know, that we have the mercy of God. And we have God's mercy. See, we stand firm on that. That God loves us, that he sent his son, and that's what Christmas is all about, that God reached down from heaven to touch our hearts and to touch our lives and to change us. Because that takes me to my last point. It's this. Keep your mind on Jesus. Keep your mind on Jesus. Don't give up when things get hard. Don't give up when the fear and the worry and the anxiety, the discouragement rise up. Hang to that journey with a firm purpose, with a grateful heart. Open the eyes that see Jesus. And being a part of what God is doing. And let God move. And let God stir. And always just keep your mind on Jesus. Because listen, everything. Well, here, listen to what this says. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished the race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever, and now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. See, keep your eye. Jesus did it. Guess what? You can do it, because guess what you have? You have Jesus. That's the point. You can do this. You can be that light in the world. You can be that example to others because you have Jesus. He lives within you. Sean just preached that message a few weeks ago for us, that the Holy Spirit dwells in every believer. And we have the presence of God in us. Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us. Everybody on board? Do you see what we have? And the Holy Spirit is with us. And for me, it brings three things to me. First, it tells me that God loves me. That's what does, that God loves me. I can keep my mind because Jesus reminds me God loves me. While I was yet a sinner, Jesus came and died for me. Think about that. God didn't say, clean your life up, get everything kind of straight, and I'll send Jesus down for you. When you get everything worked out and you get everything back in order, I'll send Jesus for you. Is that what he said? No. While we were yet sinners, Jesus came and died for us. See, that tells me that God loves me. Christmas is a statement of God's love for us and God's care for us. Christmas is a statement for me that Jesus is God's with me. That he's here. He's walking with me. Emmanuel is here. God is present. God lives here. He's in this world today. That's what Christmas is all about. Just look around and open your eyes and see God. And what God is doing, that God is with me. And it tells me that God is for me. God wants me to succeed. God wants me to get through this. God wants me to make it through life with joy and peace. It is good news. Look at what it says, Joshua 1:19. Yes, be bold and strong. Banish fear and doubt. For remember, the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. See, I want to challenge us this morning. You know? I do. We're on a journey. Everyone else is on a journey. We're all on different journeys, all right? We're in different places in life and different places in our journey. But we're all on a journey. And sometimes journeys are going to go well. And sometimes they're going to have some fears. You know, fear of the past maybe catching up with you. Fear of the past maybe pulling you back. Fear of the future of the uncertainties. Fear of the present, of failure, of loneliness, there's fears. But if we open our eyes and we celebrate when we see God working and we join him in that purpose, there's something about walking with God. That this journey we're in, that others can see Jesus in us and join us in this journey. And so I want to encourage you this Christmas to celebrate. To celebrate not just Christmas, but celebrate a story God has for you. So here's my challenge for you, all right? You got a little over a week to do it now. Matter of fact, today's what, the 15th? So you got 10 days. I want you to write a story of something God has done, either in the past or in the next 10 days, write a story of what God has done. So when Christmas rolls around, not only will you celebrate the Christmas story, but you can celebrate the story of what God has done in you. Is that okay? That you can have a story to tell your grandkids. That's what I want. I want a story to tell my grandkids. I want a story to tell my kids that this year, this is what God did. So you have a Christmas story and another story so that you can celebrate. Open my eyes and see God. Celebrate the joy of being a part of what God is doing. On purpose with God, because my mind is set on Jesus. Close with this verse. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with a victorious right hand. How's your journey? How's your journey today? Do you have a story? Ooh, wait. You have a story. You have. Will you tell a story though? Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your words and your truths. That you are a God who didn't just wind the world up and push us off and wish us well. That you're a God of love and mercy and stepped out of heaven onto earth as we celebrate Christmas. While we were still lost, separated, you loved us. Thank you for the Christmas and the joy that you bring to our lives. You know, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I don't know where you're at in your life, but you're in a journey. Maybe in your journey right now, there's some uncertainty. Maybe there's some fears. Maybe there's some loneliness. Maybe there's some financial uncertainty. Maybe there's some broken relationships. Maybe there's some past that you wish you could let go of, or some failures or something in your life. And you say, you know what? I want to be set free from these. Would you pray that I can celebrate the hand of God? Would you raise your hand and say, pray that I can celebrate the hand of God? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Just shoot your hand up. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, you see the hands of these. In the midst of their journey, there's fears and there's questions and there's discouragement and there's wounds, hurts. And Lord, I lift them up to you. Lord, let them see your hand. Open our eyes, Lord, to see the hand of God. Let them recognize your presence in their life. Let them experience your love afresh and anew. Let them see that you are for them to lift them and strengthen them. That you are with them to walk beside them and guide them. Lord, let your spirit that dwells in the hearts of believers just comfort them and encourage them. Lord, there is no fear in God. You did not come to scare us, but to set us free. Set them free, Lord. Set them on the path of joy and peace, for truly that is what Christmas is all about. Comfort their hearts. Strengthen and encourage in Jesus' name. Amen.